The Imperial Japanese Navy was not quite 5 years old when tensions between Japan and China began to escalate. Again. Since the sea separated them, it was clear that both sides needed a navy if they wanted to do anything about those tensions. The Chinese began inquiries around Europe for new-build ships, while the Japanese looked at buying a larger Brazilian ironclad that was then under construction. This fell through, but after some haggling internally, a budget was set for the purchase of warships from abroad, since no Japanese shipyard at the time could build large armoured warships. This eventually resulted in the purchase of the first ironclad actually designed for the Imperial Japanese Navy, as opposed to ships inherited from various clan navies or purchased second-hand. And accompanying it would come two armoured corvettes. These would be named Kongo and Hiei. As with many Imperial Japanese Navy warships of the 19th and early 20th centuries, the contracts were placed with British shipyards, under the overall supervision of the former chief constructor of the Royal Navy, Sir Edward Reed, who'd overseen much of the Royal Navy's advancement from basic broadside ironclads all the way through to HMS Devastation. Although the armoured corvette and armoured frigate had largely fallen out of favour in Europe pretty quickly due to the preponderance of larger ironclads, which made them highly vulnerable, in the Western Pacific, such ships still had some utility, as they would still be far superior to anything but a full ironclad, and those were vanishingly rare in that part of the world in the 1870s. Displacing just under 2,300 tons, the two ships were capable of around 13 knots, thanks to either a three-masted bark rig, or the 2,500 indicated horsepower engine that drove a single screw, or both, depending on the weather. Armour consisted of a belt that was up to 4.5 inches thick, and armament came in the form of a wide variety of guns. Although the ship itself was British, the Japanese chose to buy the main battery from Germany. With the Krupp Company supplying a trio of single 6.7-inch guns, which were mounted as two bow chasers and one stern chaser, although these guns were installed with sliding pivot rails so that they could be brought to bear on their respective broadsides. Six single 5.9-inch guns were also installed, three per side, and these functioned as the regular broadside. Depending on which source you believe, the ships were also either armed with a pair of 14-inch above-water torpedo tubes, one on each side, or alternatively those would be fitted later in the 1880s when a number of anti-torpedo boat guns were also installed, which included 76mm Armstrong guns, 37mm Hotchkiss guns, and two different calibres of Nordenfeldt multi-barrel machine guns. Laid down in 1875 and launched in 1877, the two ships were approaching completion in early 1878 when it looked like the British Empire might get involved in the latest round of Russo-Turkish hostilities, and the British asked about perhaps emergency purchasing the vessels, whose small size and relatively shallow draft might be quite useful if the Royal Navy decided to revisit blowing up things in the Black and Azov Seas again. However, the Japanese declined to sell their new ships, and so they sailed with mixed crews to Japan via the Mediterranean, although the hired British crew would do most of the sailing as the Japanese officers and men were largely on hand to observe and learn. Once in Japan, the two ships cycled through a routine of overseas port visits, local cruising, and training cruising over the course of the 1880s. The 1890s saw the ships moved more firmly into the training role, but this also actually took them further afield. In 1890, they repatriated the surviving crew of an Ottoman frigate that had been visiting Japan but then been driven ashore and wrecked by a storm just as it was leaving. And then they went on a small tour of various countries in the Mediterranean before heading home. Another training cruise took them all the way to the USA, but soon after that they were actually called into action, as the 1894 edition of Sino-Japanese hostilities had broken out. Hiei was present at the Battle of the Yalu River and was heavily damaged as she tried to keep up with the faster ships in her unit by cutting a corner during a turn, which saw her sail right through the Chinese fleet. The fact that the Chinese fleet didn't actually manage to sink an old armoured corvette as it sailed right through their guns says a fair bit about their gunnery. In any case, later on, both vessels would be present, but not significantly engaged, in the Battle of Weihai Wei. Post-war, both ships were put mainly into the training role, travelling all over the Pacific, and by the end of the 19th century they'd been downrated to coastal defence ships that just happened to have a training role when needed. Believe it or not, they were still around at the outbreak of the Russo-Japanese War, and they were therefore assigned to guard Japanese military ports against potential Russian incursion, a role in which they excelled, largely because the Russians never actually showed up to attack those ports. Following the conclusion of that particular war, they were retasked once again, this time as survey ships, and finally sold for scrap at the end of the 1900s, Kongo in 1910 and Hiei in 1912, just in time for their names to be passed on to their more famous battlecruiser successors.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.